Wonderful. Grab your Bible this morning. We're going to be in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 6. Mark chapter 6. I have been excited all week to preach the message God has laid on my heart. And you really got two sermons this morning. You got the stewardship illustration. But this is really the message of the hour. And I appreciate so much each of you being in church today. And I want to be an encouragement to you this morning. I want you to stand with me as soon as you find Mark 6. I'm going to begin reading in verse 43, and I want you to be ready. I'm going to ask you to read a couple of phrases with me as I start in verse 43 and read down through verse number 52. The title I've given, the Spirit of God has led me very powerfully this direction this morning. I want to preach this morning on this statement, don't forget the fragments. Don't forget the fragments. You'll understand in a moment. Verse 43 says, and they took up, talk with me out loud, how many baskets? They took up what? 12 baskets full of the what? Fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway, this is Jesus, he constrained his disciples to get into a ship. That means he gave them an order to go to the other side before Bethesda, where he, while he sent away the people. So get the idea. He's sending them across the Sea of Galilee, but he stays behind and he disperses the crowd. But notice what happens at verse 46. He doesn't come join them. It says, when he had sent them away, talk with me out loud, he departed into a what? Mountain to do what? Pray, to commune with his Father. And that's a real big question we're going to answer this morning, why he did that. And when even was come, so he apparently was up there for a while on that mountain, because now it's evening time. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them, say it with me out loud, what was going on out on the sea? They were what? Toiling and rowing. That means they are paddling as fast as they can and ain't getting nowhere. They're going in circles. They're going in circles. For the wind was contrary to them. No matter how much they perspired, no matter how hard they tried, they weren't making any progress. Is there anyone here this morning? You keep trying and trying, but don't seem like you're getting anywhere. Notice, if you will, and about the fourth watch of the night, that's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit. This next three words are key. Say them out loud. And cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately, thank God, he talked with them. And saith unto them, say it with me what he ends verse 50 saying together. I love this. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship. Now we've got miracles where he stood on the bow and told the sea to be quiet, told the waves to settle down. They said in those passages, they marveled and said, what manner of man is this? You'll notice here, Brother Mike, no standing in the bow, no talking to the waves. It just said as soon as he got in the ship, the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. Here's the message. Would you all read in unison with me, verse 52. Don't miss it. Together. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was yet hard. Let's pray and we'll jump into the message. Father God, you know what's on my heart. You know what you've laid deep in my soul this week. Lord, I look across the room. There are so many people here that I love. I want to help. I want to encourage. I want to come alongside like the Holy Spirit and be a paraclete, be an encouragement, be an exhortation, be a help to them. But Lord, for any of that to be possible, we need to hear from you. Lord, I acknowledge my own weakness, my own frailty, and I know that without you I can do nothing, so I yield myself afresh and anew to the Spirit of God this morning. And I ask that you'd speak to every heart. Give us exactly what we need in this service. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Now, I've asked 12 fellows to help me this morning, and I may have asked 11 or 13. I don't know if I kept track perfectly, but if you're one of the guys I asked to help me, come up here, if you will, real quick, and stand right up here this side of the platform, and let me take a head count, make sure I got the right amount of guys. So 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I did good. You know what, Matt? I ended up asking 13, but come help us. Amen. Matt will be a blessing to us. Now, fellas, just all stand up here on the platform for a moment. And while they're all standing up here, these are my disciples this morning, okay? And I want you to notice, again, it says in verse number 43, notice where we started, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. These were the 12 disciples. Brother Ken, did you don't want to be a disciple? Okay, these 12 disciples take the Lord's instruction, and the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 has just happened, and he tells these guys to gather up the fragments that remain. Now, all four of the Gospels, this is one of those unusual stories. This story is in every single one of the Gospels. It's, of course, here in Mark 6. It's in Matthew 14. In verse 20 of that chapter, it says, "And they did all eat and were filled, and they," speaking about the disciples, "took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full." In Luke's Gospel in 9:17, it says, "They did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments that remained of them 12 baskets." In John 6, it says, "When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." That's an important statement, that nothing be lost. "Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten." And guys, what we got back there, if you'll start distributing for me, Brother Matt, there are 12 baskets back there, and we got to give one to do it quicker than that, Brother Matt. Just grab a bunch of them there, and we want to get home so we can eat our fragments today, amen. And what these guys are going to do, just symbolically, now if you want to give extra in the offering and you got convicted by what I just shared with y'all, we'll let you throw some extra in. But fellas, go out there, if you will, real quick, and gather up the fragments that remain, okay? So go out there and just get everyone to fill up your basket, okay? And we realize that this is symbolically, but go out there, Brother Mike, get some from Brother Jeff and some from Miss Tangen, Brother Miss Crystal. These guys are gathering up. Everybody's eating all they want. Everybody's full. And we're gathering up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And as they're gathering, notice Jesus said that nothing be lost. So he doesn't want anything laying on the ground. Now, while they're still out there gathering, I want you to think about this question. What are fragments? Now, they could be bread that never got eaten, but I don't know if that's the purest explanation of what they are. What they actually are is they're pieces that got chewed on, but they didn't all get chewed up. There's still a little bit left over. So the Lord ain't just collecting unused bread. He's collecting every bite. Y'all with me? You say, why was that such a big deal to the Lord? He said that nothing be lost. You know what we tend to do? We tend to think that a little bit here, a little bit there ain't no big deal. When I was a little boy, I was always taught by my grandmother that if ever you saw a penny on the ground, you need to bend over and pick it up. Now, when I was little, that seemed like a smart decision, but as I got older, it's thinking just a penny. And according to Donald Trump, we ain't even have those anymore. But you know why my grandma said pick up in pennies? Because every single dollar bill is made up of pennies. We like them dollar bills, don't we? But if you want the big blessings, you got to take advantage of the little blessings. That nothing be lost. I'm not trying to scold anybody this morning, but we throw away too much valuable stuff. I know what happens. We got so much, we lose track of it all. And we get careless with it. That's why every 3 or 4 years you have a garage sale and sell all the junk in your garage that you couldn't live without, that you got in that aisle at Walmart that's the TV commercial part. Who would ever imagine? We We used to pick on you ladies for going shopping. And now you don't go shopping, but you've totally hoodwinked us. Every single day, three or four packages end up at the house on the front porch. You, well, who needs to go to the mall? Go to Amazon, man. You can get everything on Amazon. How many of y'all would confess you shop on Amazon? I do too, man. We need to get new phones this week. Me and Miss Debbie, our phones are up, and I told her, don't look at nothing in the store. We're going to get our new phone covers on Amazon because they're about a third of the price. Amen. And but guess what? God don't want you wasting anything He's blessed you with. Y'all with me? I wonder how many blessings we miss out on because we don't reach down and pick up the penny. So, guys, is your baskets all full? I want you guys to bring your baskets up here and just set them all right here on the ground. We're going to give these to a little boy in a little bit, and y'all are going to take these to his house. So let's put all our full baskets here, and we're going to let them be our visual illustration. Let's put them right out here, Brother Matt, where we can see them all. And these are our full baskets that we have gathered up. 12 basketfuls. We started with 5 fish and 2 little or 5 loaves of bread, 2 little old fish, and just pile them all over there, fellas. And somebody gave me some mints. Hallelujah. And a dollar bill. Oh, good night. We're going to have revival. Amen. Thank you. Let's give these guys a big hand. They did a good job this morning. Now, I want you to think about this. We've had a little fun, but we're gonna really get to the heart of this for a moment. In the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 that this 12 baskets full illustration is part of, you understand the Bible says that 5,000 men participated in eating. Well, it wasn't just men there. There would have been women there. There would have been children there. So most Bible scholars that have studied this passage estimate the crowd was probably somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people that Jesus actually fed that day. The number of 5,000 was just the men in the crowd. So this was a throng of people that got in, Brother Mike, on this incredible miracle. Guess what? This is one of the first miracles in Jesus' public ministry. Turning the water into wine at the marriage of Cana of Galilee was the first. But as my math is correct, I think this is the second miracle. Now, you understand what would happen if we, living even in our day, we can imagine how this would happen. But in that time in the world, this would have been like Santa Claus coming to town. This was big news, buddy. Bunch of hungry people went to a preaching service, and they not only got spiritually fed, but every one of them got physically fed. And it all happened with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know that word would have spread everywhere. You ain't going to believe what we saw today. A little boy gave his little sack lunch to Jesus, and Jesus fed 20,000 of us with it. No doubt, this early miracle, Brother Ken, was sort of unpulling back the curtain. It was shining a spotlight on Jesus. He would never be able to be ever able to be in a crowd ever again without being thronged by people. Now, why is that important, preacher? Let me make a statement. With the blessing, don't miss this, with the blessings come the burden of being blessed. Well, Jeff, everybody wants to be blessed. We all want loaves of bread and fish. But listen, if you want to be blessed, there's a problem with being blessed. That comes with big burdens. I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Ken. In my 40 plus years of pastoring, I get more concerned about someone when God starts blessing the fire out of them than I ever do when they're going through suffering. When somebody loses their job, I pray. My heart's heavy for them. But I'm not nearly as concerned when they're in financial trouble as I am when they get a new job and, boy, the blessings start pouring upon them. Because more people backslide and get out of church when they're being blessed than ever get out of church and backslide who are going through a storm and going through a trial. We struggle handling blessings. You know what most people do when they get blessed? They just raise their standard of living. Brother Jeff, if they live on $100,000 a year, and next year they got $120,000, they're in the same financial boat at the end of that year as they were the year before, because it doesn't matter how much they make, they spend everything that comes in. That's the American dream, right? Here's the problem. That ain't why God blessed you so you could spend more money. God blessed you so He could use you. God blessed you so He could turn you into a blessing. Y'all okay with that? The Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 12, God said that I will bless you, but the greatest blessing was the last one of that passage. He said, and I will make thee a blessing. Why did Jesus send the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee by Himself, disperse this massive crowd, and then go into the mountain alone, pray? Why did He do that, preacher? Why didn't He go with them? Here's why I believe He did it. Brother Phil, Jesus understood that He just open Pandora's box. I'm sure His prayer up on the mountain was something like this: Father, I've done it now. There's no hiding any longer. There's no ambiguity any longer. I've set it off. The explosion has happened. The fireworks are already going on. There are 15 to 20,000 people who've been discharged to every town and every village who have a miracle in their belly. And they're not going to keep it quiet. They're going to tell everybody what Jesus did for them. What they heard, what they saw, what they felt, what they experienced. You know what He's doing up there, Brother Jeff? He's getting the strength from His Father to handle what's coming. You know what we do, Brother Kelly? Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help my son get right. Oh, God, help my daughter get right. Oh, God, meet our need. And He does. And then we quit going to church. That ain't what you're supposed to do with that miracle you was asking for. Man, if you got a son or daughter, you was begging God to get right and they got right. Buddy, you better be leading them to the house of God with your example every day. Hey, listen, so many people want the blessing, Brother Ken, but we don't want the burden that comes with the blessing. I want my grandkids to get saved and live for God. Well, that will mean you'll need to be living for God the rest of your life. Because it isn't just getting them in. It's getting them to join the family of God. Nothing burdens me more, Brother Ken. I've seen this for decades as a pastor. When families are raising kids, they're faithful to church. And when them grandbabies and babies get out of the house, Grandma and Grandpa aren't faithful to church any longer. Now we know why you were doing it. You're just using God. You're just wanting God's help to raise your kids. Grandma and Grandpa, you need to be faithful to God as much now as you were when them kids were fighting in the back seat on the way to church. Because now you got a whole other generation watching every move you're making. See, I don't want to just be blessed. I want to know how to handle my blessings. Jesus was up on a mountain saying to the Father, I have no doubt in my mind, Father, I'm going to need your help. Yes, you've opened on, unleashed the blessings. Yeah, the windows of heaven are open, but there's going to be an onslaught. Thousands are going to want to be healed. Thousands are going to want to be touched. Thousands are going to need the deliverance from demons. And Father, I wanted the blessing, but now I need strength to handle the blessing. I tell you how serious it is. He prayed all night. For the money, he prayed at least till 3 in the morning. Because that's when the fourth watch of the night begins. And then we have the miracle story of him meeting the disciples in the middle of the sea and walking on the water. Let me take the remaining time I got and give you 3 statements this morning. And you'll see how they all fit together. I believe this will help you if you grab it. Number one, I want you to see, there is a revelation in this great story of our sovereign's power. I'm not going to reread it all. But the Bible says when he saw them toiling, in verse number 48, rowing, for the wind was contrary, and about the fourth watch of night he cometh unto them. Say it with me out loud. Doing what? walking up on the sea and would have passed by then. Hey, by the way, that's a pretty notable miracle. I ain't never walked on water, have you? Unless it was frozen. But this wasn't frozen water. This was a supernatural miracle. We see, Brother Mike, number one in this great story, a revelation of our sovereign's power. I don't need to spend a lot of time here, but can I tell you, there are three great mighty powers that God alone possesses, and they were all seen in the Savior right here in our text this morning. What are these great powers, preacher? Number one, the Savior is omnipotent. What's that mean, preacher? That word omnipotent means all potent, all powerful, having unlimited authority. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you know who Jesus is this morning? He's God come in the flesh. He's omnipotent. No power is greater than His. He's all powerful, but He's also not only, Brother Kelly, omnipotent. Our Savior is also omnipresent. He is everywhere. Think about this. He is able to be present in all places at all times, everywhere at once. That's who Jesus is. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, I love the comfort. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Listen to what He said. For He said, I will never leave thee. Amen. Well, Brother Kelly, I've lived in Michigan in several places, in Kentucky. I've lived in North Carolina. I've lived in Illinois. I've lived in Indiana. And guess what? He was in every one of those places at the same time. No matter where we all came from, you've never spent 1 hour in this life alone. Because He said He'll never leave you. How can He say that? Because He's omnipresent. Brother Mike, He's also, and I love this one, He's not only omnipotent, omnipresent, but He's also omniscient. What's that mean, preacher? That means He has infinite awareness, infinite understanding and insight. He's all-knowing. Zechariah says in 4:10, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. My friend, Jesus personally knows about the storm the disciples are facing in our text, even though He's not with them. He's alone on the land. I don't know about you this morning. They cannot speak to Him, but He knows. They don't see Him, Brother Bob, but He knows. They are not physically with Him, but He knows. Can I say hallelujah, glory to God this morning? Thank God He knows what we cannot tell Him. Amen. You know what Jesus knows this morning? He knows what you're facing. He knows what is coming your way. Brother Jeff, we don't know, but He knows what's coming our way. He knows where you are this morning. Now, I don't just mean sitting in a pew in 911 West Main Street in Clayton, North Carolina. He knows really where you are. Dr. Ennis, He knows about your circumstances. He knows about the storm that is breaking out in your life. He knows how you're dealing with it. He knows when you've had enough. He knows when you need a break. My granddaughter, Reagan, told Debbie yesterday, they was talking. She doesn't have a phone, but she got an iPad, and she, Facebook Messenger, is that what you call it? She talks to her grandma like an hour or two every day. And it's hilarious. She told Debbie, she was, Grandma, why don't you come over tonight? I need my grandma. She said, we got church tomorrow and we got this. And she said, Grandma, she was, everybody needs a break now and then. I said, talk about a pastor's daughter and granddaughter talking. Everybody needs a break. You know what? Sometimes everybody does need a break. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus knows every single thing that's happening, not just on the outside in your life, but on the inside? He knows how you feel. He knows how insecure you feel. He knows how inadequate you feel. He knows about your pride. He knows about your fears. Miss Joy, I know a lot of folks know it, but let's sing that little song. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Give us that first slide, if you will, Brother Jeffrey. Miss Joy, you know that song, don't you? As she gets ready to sing it, I want you to just to let these simple words, the cadence and the simplicity of this song is so basic. And Johnson Oatman wrote this song in 1895. You'd think he was alive yesterday, because this is right where you and I live. Sing with me, there's not a friend.
There's not a friend like the Lord.
No friend like him is so high and holy together.
No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet so friend is so weak and holy. No,
happened to me in my life, Brother Money. But ain't nothing ever happened as wonderful as when I got Jesus inside of my heart. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. One of these days, every one of us that know the Lord are going to cross the river. And we ain't going to have an argument. We ain't going to have a lawyer with us to get in. The gate's going to be wide open. And we're not going to be ushered in by an angel, Brother Mike. Jesus is going to be the one that comes and gets us, and he's bringing us home. Sing that great stanza.
Was there a man like the Savior? No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one.
First of all, in our great text this morning, a realization, a revelation of our Savior's, of our Sovereign's power. But we also see a recognition of our Savior's procedure. This is so important. Don't miss this. I'm going to run through this part of the text. It says, when he had sent them away in verse 46, he departed into a mountain to pray. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. He alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Don't miss it now. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. Brother Jeff, you know what that tells me? He started coming before we knew he was coming. Our situation had already got on his radar screen before we had figured out whether or not we're going to get out of this mess or not. But notice it says, walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. Now, this is really important. At this point in the story, the disciples of our Lord are in a dire situation. They got a crisis going on. They got the storm, or what you and I would call the problem. And then we have over here the Savior, who's the power we need. Here's the message. Look at me. Over here we got the storm. Over here we got the problem. Over here on the mountainside, deep in a season of prayer, we got the Savior, who's the power we need to fix the problem we're facing. You know what the solution is? We got to get the distance between the power and the problem narrowed down. Did y'all hear me? If you're in a storm this morning, the answer to your problem is you got to get the Savior in the middle of your situation. This distance between the two, the storm and the Savior, has got to be bridged. The distance between my problem and the power has got to be shortened. Are you listening? If not, your crisis will turn into a full-blown catastrophe. Some of you this morning, you're getting by, you're surviving. But you're literally walking in the middle of a crisis. And because you made it through another day, you think you're going to be okay. Folks, you ain't getting out of this mess by yourself. So I don't know what to do, preacher. Here's what to do. Stop trying to do everything you're trying to do and get him to leave the mountain and come to where you are. If you can get him here, everything's going to be okay. Remember when you used to have a tear in your eye? Remember when your heart was fired up to go to church? Remember when you just couldn't wait to be around the things of God? Remember when you heard Brother Terry Lawson's family was coming to sing, you wanted to invite people because you didn't want everybody you noticed experience the glory that we're going to experience next Sunday? Remember when you used to feel that way about things of God? That's when Jesus was right here. But now you go days without reading your Bible. Prayer life, what's that? He's over there. And you're way over here. You're halfway across the sea. The way you fix the whole problem, he has got to get over here. But here's what I mean when I say a recognition of our Savior's procedure. He knew what they were going through, brother. Todd, he took off heading towards them before they even knew he was coming. But he wasn't going to stop. He was going to keep on going. You say, I don't get it. I thought you said we need him. Oh, we do. But here's how you get him to stop and turn towards you. The Bible says when they saw him, they supposed it was a spirit and they cried out. Now there's so much here, I ain't got time to really develop it to give it the justice it deserves. They couldn't tell who it was, Brother Ken, by the way he walked. They couldn't tell who it was by the way he looked. But then they heard him speak. Amen. He said, boys, it's me. Sometimes you can't figure him out. Sometimes you can't see what's going on. But if you could just hear him speak, everything would change. Every service you lay out of church, you're postponing hearing what he's got to say. We're not Catholics. We don't come to church because it's our duty. We don't come to church to go through a religious setup. We come to church to hear him speak. He gets in the boat, Brother Ken. And the storm's all over. He don't say nothing to it. He don't have to rebuke nothing. He just sits down in a boat and everything's okay. You know what that tells me, Brother Mike? This wasn't a storm. This was a test. Some of you are going through something right now that's got you literally scared crazy. It may not even be a storm. It may just be a test. See, what they needed, Brother Mike, they needed their Savior in close proximity. That's his procedure. I don't understand it. If I was an all-knowing, if I was an all-powerful, if I was omniscient, I could be everywhere at the same time. Listen, I would not probably do it the way God did it. As powerful as he is, he made everything. You don't hear this, you're going to miss the message. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere at the same time. But he is such a gentleman. He will not force himself into your situation. You got to ask him. You got to cry out. He doesn't rebuke him. He says, it's I. Be not afraid. He said in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. What are you going through this morning? You don't even need me to say much more. You just need the Savior. Get in your situation. I'm all done. But would you look at verse 51? I'm done. Look at it. It says, and he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they wondered. Now you got to see this. You do not miss this. Remember back in verse 43, look at me for a minute. We're going to read one more verse, but look at me. Remember when we took up these 12 baskets? These 12 fragments that remain. That little boy gave 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he's taken home 12 baskets full of provisions. Look at verse 52 and I'm done. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was yet hardened. What? Can I paraphrase for you what that just said? Brother Terry, they're out in the middle of a storm. They're thinking they're going down. They think they're seeing ghosts. I mean, it's pandemonium. They're in an absolute panic. They're working their tail off. They're toiling and rowing. They're not making one bit of progress. I mean, everything stopped working. Their whole life is in an absolute crisis. And listen, my friend, it's all because they did not remember. When he fed 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Do you know what our problem is this morning, Brother Jeff? We keep forgetting the fragments. Can I say this without offending you? You don't look like you're starving to death. Hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings there. I absolutely don't look like I'm starving to death. I probably could not eat a few meals and be fine. You know what you're looking at? You're looking at 12 baskets full. Brother Jeff and Miss Paul, y'all hurt my feelings, amen. They said, I look like 12 baskets full. Hey. If you look back, at every turn in the road, God took care of you.
Yes, sir.
He's met needs in your life beyond anything you could have ever imagined. You're so blessed, it's not even blessed, Brother Jerry. It's spoiled rotten. He's been so good to us. But we have this weird thing that happens to us when we get busy living our life. We take for granted. Where's the Lord at? Man, he was good Sunday, but it's Thursday already. Here I went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I ain't had any significant prayer time. I haven't read my Bible. We don't know where he's at. He says, I'm watching everything you're going through. Hey, by the way, I knew you was going to go through it last Sunday. That's why I made sure the preacher preached what he preached so you'd be ready for it. I'm begging my scared, anxious, worrisome friends this morning, brothers and sisters, don't forget the fragments. He's taken care of us before. He's not going to fail tomorrow.